black tornado across the western sky. Rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, its ears down flat. Long before you take this
cat. Welcome back to the Jump Force Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this now Monday morning. We get in touch with the program 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line and we'll respond to whatever it is that's on your mind. And you just want to tell me what you had for breakfast. I will give you some sort of response. You may not like it, but you'll get a response. Still to come on the program, Dale Jackson, WVNN, in about an hour. And in 2 hours, my colleague from 1819 News, Craig Monger, will be with us. So please stick around for that. But joining us now, he is north part of Mobile County. State Representative Shane Stringer joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, I ask your other Monday counterpart, Jennifer Fiddler, when she comes on. But have you finally recovered from the session that was 2024?
Yeah, finally got rested up and kind of got all the, I guess, the clutter out of my brain from all that chaos, but cleared up, ready to go again.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. So what were your colleagues Reed Ingram on the show last week? And for some reason, I'm still not clear what he had said and why it was interpreted, or if he said something and then kind of changed his mind on constitutional carry. But somehow it became a discussion about this, Representative, that you look at the crime, and this pertains to Montgomery more than anywhere else, but it would be a state law, and so it would pertain to anywhere. What do you think of this idea that if your local municipal police department isn't living up to its billing, if it's not able to recruit officers, if it's not able to get crime statistics down, the state would look at some kind of like takeover, like they did with the schools up there several years ago, and install a police chief and try to get things back into like kind of a normal working order. I don't even know where you would begin with that, but that's his idea, at least. What do you think of that?
You know, I don't know. I've got a lot of thoughts and stuff on that. You know, back to to wanting to change the constitutional carry bill, you know, I've said this all along, the putting a penalty or a permit fee or something on the law-abiding citizens does nothing against crime. You know, before we did that bill, we talked to DAs and different ones, and even here in Mobile County, we only had, I think, roughly 100 no permit arrest throughout the county, and that was with all the jurisdictions, including Pritchard and Mobile. So, you know, attacking the law-abiding citizens or putting something on them is not the solution. Second is the, you know, our constitutional rights. The Second Amendment is not a group right. It is not if some of the group mess up, we take it from everybody kind of deal. So, you know, we should put stiffer penalties on the ones that are violating, and let's address and attack them. You know, I think that you're seeing higher crime in a lot of the Democrat-led cities across the state, and Montgomery's no different. You know, they've got a lot of issues. You know, they're typically are not very pro-law enforcement. There are more against more against law enforcement than they are the criminals sometimes. The courts have a tendency to let more people out before they should and give them softer, you know, lighter penalties. And that's the root of the problem. If we could address that and then from time to time, you even hear it where some of the local judges or state judges or county judges are saying that they shouldn't put people in because the jails are overcrowded. Well, that is not their problem. That is not, you know, they are to do their job. And then from there, it's up to the state to handle where they put the inmates and what they do with them.
Well, and here's another thing about this, Representative, is like they, you look, well, we'll start with constitutional carry. the state apply the law applies to the entire state. Yet, you like you said, it's just some of these bigger cities. Well, what Representative Reed is suggesting we do is like put some kind of like age limitation or something. Like if you are under 21, you have to carry a permit. I mean, what do you think of even doing something like that?
I don't believe in that. I think if you are legally able to buy and carry a gun, you're legally of age to serve in our military, then you should be able to carry that gun without the permit. You know, I think that I've said it time and time again, the mere presence of a gun does not constitute a crime or justify something. Just because me as a law enforcement officer, I pull somebody over and they've got a gun in their car does not mean, oh my God, red flags, we need to, you know, search their car. We need to run them three ways from Sunday. That's just not, you know, right. If you have a gun, that's your right. I mean, we don't go and break into people's houses and run everything they own, the TVs and everything else, just because they own a gun. So I think we need to be very reasonable when this comes, when we're dealing with this. And sometimes I don't think some people are.
Well, on the question of police departments and the what role the state can play there, the takeover, it sounds good, I guess, if you're looking at it from the Montgomery standpoint. But I just what I would wonder is this: how many municipalities are there in Alabama, and how would the state be able to like kind of do that? Install a police chief and who could go in and clean house or do whatever is needed. I mean, it just seems like a bureaucratic nightmare, number one. But I mean, number two, is it really the state's job to do this? Should the state have a role in places where there is crime? I mean, like at what point, you know, would the governor have to call it the National Guard or whatever, like they did in Phoenix City in the 1950s when things got out of control? I guess there is a mechanism there. But this seems like sort of like lowering that bar to take extraordinary action.
I mean, I've been a cop for 32 years, so there's already steps and mechanisms in place to do that. You know, right here in Mobile County, from time to time, we've had the county has had to step up and to go in and help Pritchard out when they've been extremely shorthanded or unable to handle things. So, you know, and it's not uncommon for a lot of your small cities throughout your counties to reach out to larger agencies, whether it be the sheriff's department or maybe the state troopers or ABI, or, you know, to get help with high profile crimes or issues. There's always a backup system, you know, that we have. So I don't know if there's really, you know, too much. If a city can't keep and run a police department, I mean, their number one priority should be the safety of their citizens. And if they cannot provide that, then that's questionable to whether they should even be a city, you know. And if they were to unincorporate, then your county would have to step in and provide police services, and it would be up to them to make sure that the proper people are in place to run these departments in the county.
Well, I mean, Pritchard, you could do that, but it's not like one of the like three municipalities in Montgomery County with police departments. I mean, like, who's going to be the big brother there in that situation? Oh, what if Mobile were to deteriorate? Would the sheriff's department be able to even handle something like that? When it's that big and you see it, I think about this, like, if this were happening in Mobile, where it just things kind of spiraling out of control, I mean, how would you even start on that? What could is the sheriff's department even capable of stepping in and intervening when it's that big, when it's a big five or even a big 10 city in Alabama?
I would suspect they're not. I mean, you're going to, anytime that the sheriff's department steps in and helps an agency out, and they do help, Mobile County helps out Mobile City from time to time. And, you know, especially like during Mardi Gras, and they bring in all the different assignments and units to help out with that. So, you know, if you're talking about having to completely take over, man, that would be a major undertaking at, you know, the state. You know, maybe even have to utilize the National Guard till you could get it stabilized and situated to do that. So, you know, being in law enforcement, one of the challenges as a police chief for me was, you know, having a jail. Jails are very problematic, and, you know, you've got the safety and custody of the inmates, and you've got to take care of them from feeding, health, everything. And it's a challenge. And if you could do away with that, then, oh, man, that'd be so much easier, you know. And it's kind of like, I think some of these larger cities, if they could do away with their police department and put that burden on somebody else, they would love that. But unfortunately, that's not the way it's set up. Police, you know, and law enforcement in these communities are what the whole purpose of government is. That's the reason that we collect taxes in these areas, to provide the fire and police services, to provide the roads and streets and garbage and everything that comes with these big cities. And, you know, of course, sometimes it's a challenge in running a police department and running a fire department and keeping them manned and taken care of.
Right. It's a public safety responsibility. But how much of it is this? And you know, I think about this stuff all the time, like post George Floyd and this push nationally. Maybe it's finally getting Alabama. I think there's a little bit of that going on in Mobile right now with this Paul Prine controversy. But, like, just in a post-George Floyd America, that we want to kind of, just lower the temperature or whatever it is with our policing for political reasons, and that's what you're seeing in some of these bigger cities.
Absolutely. You know, you've got some of the, I guess, more liberal politicians that are coming into some of these cities and going to some of the high crime areas, which typically is a minority area, and, you know, telling them that they're going to get the police out of their communities from harassing them or bothering them. And what happens is, when they do that, then the criminal element is able to increase and do more damage and take over in these areas. So there's a balance to be found. You know, there's a thin line between police in your community and harassing your community. And we definitely don't want to be on the harassment side, but you do have to get in these communities and work. And, you know, I've found that when you get in even the minority communities or any area that's has high crime, if you are engaged in those communities and the elders get to know you and they trust you, they will call and give you information on what's going on, including their own family members. I mean, because they trust you to handle it without trying to harm their children or their relatives or send them to prison for the rest of their life. You know, they know that you've got the best interests of them and our community in hand, and you're going to try to do what's right.
Well, and, you know, so there's like, there's the other side of this. The public just is. I think at what point, what do you think it looks like when these cities finally get enough pushback from their voters, from their constituents, and they demand us to like go back? I mean, can you do policing in a way that's not what we're doing now, but maybe what not a pre George Floyd sort of like law enforcement or tactics or whatever, and find something in between? Like, what is the like Goldilocks kind of scenario?
Well, policing, it changes. It's changed over time. It'll continue to change. We have to adapt to meet the needs of our community. And basically, our success in law enforcement is dependent upon our community's perception of us. If our community is proud of us and likes us, then we're doing something right. If our community does not, then we've got to find where we need to change and address that. You know, we've seen lots and lots of changes over the years from when I started in 91 to, you know, back then you didn't have tasers. I mean, tasers probably been the biggest game changer in law enforcement, and in how we deal with certain situations. And we've seen officer involved shootings go down since the, you know, since Taser came out. So that's a big plus. But, you know, you just have to find ways to adapt. And the biggest thing is developing the trust of the communities. If the communities trust you, things will go so much better. They're more involved, they're more engaged, and it just comes together. But you cannot, the hands-off, you know, approach, you've got to have proactive units to address problematic areas. You've got a certain element of the population, the criminal element, that is going to get out here and harass and mess with the good citizens every chance they get. So the law enforcement has to be able to address those individuals and deter them from being the nuisance they are.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this is from a texter. John writes this, and you can either laugh at it or respond to it any way you want. Dear Mr. Stringer, you need to go to Aldott and slam your fist on the desk of its leadership and demand they make good on the promise of a divided four-lane Highway 45! Exclamation point. Is that for lack of trying that isn't happening, is it there, Representative?
No, it is not, and I've come very, very close to doing that. Some of the conversations I've had with Director Cooper and some of his staff have been pretty intense. You know, I don't mind. I'm not up there to make friends. You know, I've got enough of them. So when I go up there, it is to get things done. But you also have to find a balance when you go up to, you know, you got to be the squeaky wheel and try to get what you need done. But you also, you can't go up there and just go crazy or you won't get nothing at all.
Well, have you experienced this? And this is really the last question, that the squeaky wheel is sometimes penalized for being the squeaky wheel. Like if you criticize this this highway director too, or this Aldott director too much, you will they will take punitive action, or maybe it's not explicit, but you'll notice that your phone calls don't get returned and things don't get answered as expeditiously as they maybe once had.
Absolutely. You know, and myself and Representative Brett Easterbrook have experienced that. And just this, I mean, where we were able to get more meetings with Aldott and Director Cooper and with others. And, you know, I guess the louder we have spoke, the less of the meetings we get. And, you know, something's got to be done, you know, and my thing is if they are
right,
not doing something because they don't like me, then shame on them.
Representative, we got to get out of here. You're always welcome on this program. Thanks for making time for us this morning.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a blessed day.
You do the same. Shane Stringer, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Hey,